from Buffalo Toronto Public Media. This is What's Next, an hour dedicated to amplifying the voices of marginalized and underrepresented communities across Western New York and Southern Ontario.
We cannot erase, we cannot reform, we cannot make things better if we're uncomfortable having tough conversations,
Absolutely.
If we're uncomfortable
Absolutely.
Talking about race.
What's Next carries forward our mission to engage in meaningful conversations about race, equity, and the shared concerns that deeply affect Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
Don't stop. Make those families part of your life. Their lives are part of yours. Don't stop.
Together, we dive into the real issues, striving for understanding, connection, and change.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
Hello, everyone. This is Jillian Hainsworth. I am your host today on What's Next on Buffalo Toronto Public Media. I'm here today with a very special guest. If you tune into this show, which was created after May 14th, then you have probably heard this voice. Today, I'm here with Mark Talley, author, community advocate, community leader, and the son of Geraldine Talley, who lost her life on May 14th inside of Topps Grocery Store. Mark, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. Can't complain.
Yeah. I'm excited to interview you. This is my first time being able to. Mark and I have become friends and we just have a great time together. The most ridiculous things happen when we're together. So what you been up to?
Just working, with my organization, Agents for Advocacy, trying to build up the programs. One of our programs is a maternal health program called Our Mommy Village. And the other program I'm trying to start is a workforce development / mentorship program. That's still in the developmental stages and working at a New Directions Office of Children and Family Services.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you started at New Direction.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
I know you're good at it. I can already know. You do a lot of community-focused work. Have you always been doing this kind of work and, like, moving this way? Or did something kind of get ignited in you after May 14th?
Never. Just something, a spark got ignited into me after 5/14.
So you could kind of say that, like, your work is also, like, legacy work for your mom, too, because that situation is what catapulted you into what you're doing now.
Absolutely. I'm glad I finally get to put these urban planning and socioeconomic degrees into good use.
So what's your most like rewarding part of what you do?
Just helping people who people turned their back to.
Do you feel like Buffalo is a city that people have turned their back on?
Absolutely. But even the people in the city of Buffalo turn their back to each other. So
what do you mean?
It's a lot of gatekeeping. It is a lot of shystiness. It is. Once you get into this space and see behind the scenes, you just see the people who you see taking pictures with each other smiling. They hate each other's guts.
And that's unfortunate because you would think after something like May 14th, 2022, we really find a way to unify around the things that we know our communities need. Have you seen any of that? Like, you experience that side of it, too?
I mean, on a micro level, in the city, people still have a lot of love for each other. They definitely want to be better. But on a more macro level, nobody care anymore. I'm in the process of starting a new book called Dreams from a Son. Oh. And I think one of the opening lines I'm going to have is I think 5/14, unfortunately, was the greatest thing to happen in the city of Buffalo because a lot of people are still eating off of 5/14. And it's kind of like Pride Month. You know, people or organizations for 11 months out the year, they don't care about the LGBTQIA. They don't care about none of the colors that it represents. But the second 6/1 hits, websites are plastered in all the Pride colors. And that's what it's like with 5/14. People start getting their galas ready. People, start putting what they did for 5/14. People start buying those "End Hate, Choose Love, Stop Racism" shirts, which are, somebody's making millions from them. It's not the community where it happened at.
And what about from like a local leadership perspective? Like, do you think that our local leaders, our elected officials, the common council, the previous and current mayor, current interim mayor, do you think that enough is being done out of City Hall to not only acknowledge what happened on May 14th, honor the lives that were stolen, but also to prevent something like this from happening again?
I mean, I do think they are honoring it, you know, for the past 3 years. I mean, I hated the event the first year after. It seems more like a carnival. But the past 2 years, I think they've been very respectful to the families, people in the community, just having a nice remembrance of it.
When you say the first year, you mean like the ceremony outside of the grocery store on May 14th?
When they had it at the old Rock Pile Stadium.
Okay. I remember that.
That seemed more like a
concert.
Festival.
Yeah. Okay. But now you kind of appreciate more the direction they're going in when it comes to how they acknowledge it.
Nice and small, nice and quiet. It's not lasting, you know, several hours like it was after the first year.
Mm-hmm. Are the families a part of determining what these May 14th memorials look like the actual programs?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Do you want to be? Like, do you
not think really.
It's easier to kind of be hands off, take a step back?
Absolutely. To me, it's, I think the first year they had, I forgot they had West, I want to say it was West Side Gunner Conway, a part of the the programs determining what was being made, what was happening. And once I saw that, I figured, you know what, nah, they ain't about to ask my opinion.
Okay. But what are your opinions? Like, how do you feel about the potential memorial site that's going to be getting built by the city, I think with funding from the state? How do you feel about the way as a community we are approaching May 14th every year?
I mean, I think it's absolutely stupid. I mean, I think that funded from the state could definitely go to help the people in these impoverished areas. I mean, I'm content with the memorial that, you know, Tops has right on the corner and inside the store. I think that's good enough. But, you know, we're about to get, you know, close to millions of dollars to put up this even bigger memorial. And I just think that could easily help the people in that community.
So do you think we're wasting money to be like ceremonious when we could be changing things?
I mean, I think the city of Buffalo wastes a lot of money. That's why we're, what's the new report?
Struggling, okay? If anybody knows about the struggle, it is us because we are broke. That's something to say. Like, we already don't do a good job at spending money in ways that are equitable and that actually benefit our communities long term. That's what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, we still probably got potholes in the city older than I am.
Yeah. What about your mom? Like, if she could say, this is how I want the money to be spent, how do you think your mom and, you know, the people who we're trying to honor, because it's one thing to build these monuments, memorials, because we want to honor the lives who were stolen. But it's something else to really take their community commitments, their legacies, and continue it through this funding. So do you think that we are continuing their legacies by creating these memorial sites, or do you think there are more beneficial ways to do that?
I mean, I think we're continuing a facade of the legacies, but I don't think we're truly, you know, impact and change. It's kind of like when people were boycotting Target and for the DEI stuff, it's like, it's nice, you know, round of applause, but is this sustainable? Mm-hmm. Or is this going to go away in a month or two once people stop caring?
So what would you want to see?
Long lasting change. Let's help people. Let's help kids go to school who can't afford it. Let's discuss the history of racism, you know, of America in the schools. Let's help with some of these schools that are impoverished, and you have teachers on a $40,000 a year salary buying supplies for these kids. Let's help with more creativity, art programs, financial literacy. Let's help single moms in the area who can't afford childcare. Let's help people trying to go back to school or looking for better jobs in the area. Let's get people health care. And it's a lot of basic stuff. People, no, let alone the east side of Buffalo going around, it's a lot of people still don't have these basic needs.
Yeah.
they just have higher access to money to kind of neutralize the stuff they don't know.
Yeah, that's valid. I remember the first time I ever got to sit down with you and talk to you about your mom. And one of the first questions, it was myself, Julia Bottoms, and Tiffany Gaines. And one of the first questions we asked was like, what about your mom was like special and just like phenomenal and different? And you were like, nothing. She's my mom. Like, that's my mother. And it really hit home because it changed how I approached thinking about the people we lost on May 14th. I feel like sometimes we tend to look at them as like martyrs or like symbols of the issues in our country that stem from racism and white supremacy and gun violence. But we don't always think of them as like, that's Mark's mom. Like, that's Garnell's mom. Like, that's a regular person that somebody called to vent to on a Monday afternoon because they're annoyed at work. Like, this is just a normal person. Do you think that we have kind of, as a community, sensationalized May 14th by seeing the 10 people we lost as like martyrs or symbols and not regular people?
I mean, some of them, you know, I know some of the victims that day were martyrs. You know, I know Garnell Whitfield's mom, you know, she was active, involved in the community. You know, she is a martyr with all the stuff she tried to fight against. My mother, unfortunately, was just at the wrong place, wrong time. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was a very simple country Southern woman who loved to cook.
Yeah.
I mean, she really wasn't involved that much in, you know, community activism or politics. So I believe some of the victims are being sensationalized, which, you know, as rappers, you know, I think Jada Kiss had a lyric, you know, rappers, once rapper died, that's when they start getting better promotion and start selling.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I do think that is the case with, you know, some of the victims.
Yeah.
But, you know, if that's what people want to do, if that's how they want to grieve, is to uplift people by putting them on a pedestal, who am I to say stop that?
I mean, even that statement, like, you say things, I don't think you even realize, like, the power in your words, because you, as the son of someone who died that day, you're giving grace to the community by saying, if that's how people need to grieve, I'm okay with that. But they're grieving somebody that we didn't know the way you knew them. You know, like, we didn't know your mom the way you know your mom. So to give other people the space to grieve your mom however they would want, this woman they possibly never met before, that is, like, really powerful. What makes you think that way? How are you able to make space for other people even in this kind of moment?
I mean, I understand I'm not the most emotional person. Very, very introverted, very, you know, if you read my book, Ausbergius, if that's a word.
Okay, we'll let it rock. It's a word.
So although I know a lot of, you know, a lot of this stuff really don't affect me as much, mm-hmm. but I understand there's people, no, there's people that day who heard the bullets probably, you know, in their living room while they was just, you know, watching TV. So I understand it takes time for people to grieve.
Yeah.
So, you know, who am I trying to rush people to hurry up and get over it? Although, I mean, I've been at that point now for close to, you know, I was there probably 3-4 months, you know, after the incident.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I tell people my mother knew what type of weird son she has, so... No, if it's still 3 years later, people are still grieving, people still want to, you know, uplift the victims,
mm-hmm.
you know, go for it.
What does your grief look like? Like, how do you grieve?
I really don't. I mean, you know, I do have lots of dreams with my mother in them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I grieve right there. You know, some of the dreams can be very weird, pointless, and stupid. No, one of them was just me and my mother driving from the airport, once again, picking up Jada Kiss, as I said earlier.
Picking up Jada Kiss? Okay.
I'm confident my mother doesn't even know who Jada Kiss is. Another one, I was in Candyland crying, looking for my mother, knowing she wasn't there.
Yeah.
And that's how I grieve.
Do you feel like the families have gotten the support that they need in order to grieve and to move forward?
I know for myself, I'm content. I'm really not asking for that much. Mm-hmm. Behind the scenes, I do know there are families who were asking for support and haven't received it.
Wow. Asking the city?
Asking organizations, okay, who received the money, mm-hmm, from 514 relief funds, I think from Kathy Hochul.
Okay. And we talk a lot still about that money because there's so much money came into the city after May 14th, like hundreds of millions of dollars.
That's why 514 is the greatest thing that ever happened to the city of Buffalo.
But so many people can't account for what's been happening with that money, if anything. Like, do you know anything about how that money is being spent? Like, are the families updated on this is how much money we have, this is how we plan on spending it?
No, I'm going to say I haven't been updated.
Yeah. So you're just as much in the dark as everybody else.
I'll say not in the dark. Once again, I'm fortunately through an unfortunate situation, mm-hmm, in the space to hear whispers, yeah, and behind the scenes info. So it's a lot of corporations, organizations, and people eating off those 514 wow relief funds.
Wow. But not the right people.
Not the right people.
So if you could send a message to the executive directors of these orgs, to the commissions and boards that are deciding who gets to hold the purse strings when it comes to this money, what would you want to say?
Like, it's not that hard, though. Go outside and see the people who need help.
Yeah.
So just please go help them. Ask them around. Like, you can go in the community. You can go in the Jefferson area. Like, you see the people who need help. You see the people downtown. You know, I'm really not downtown that much. I'm seeing people setting up the tents. We're kind of looking like the unfortunate homeless city that they call it in LA. Mm-hmm. But we're starting to look like that right now.
Yeah. And we've seen it more and more. It's so insane to me that I remember people in City Hall saying, like, we don't have a homeless problem here in Buffalo. And it's like, no, people are living in tents on the side of the highway. That looks like a homeless problem to me.
Either in tents or they're just shipping them to these hotels.
Yeah. So, like, those are people who this money could help. It could really change their lives and help give them a stronger foundation so that they can provide for themselves eventually.
That, or help them out, put them in, you know, unfortunately with this unhoused population, you know, a lot of them are on drugs, you know, get them some type of help.
Mm-hmm. So you're doing your own work out in the community. After May 14th, you started Agents for Advocacy, and you have been putting in work. Like, you're always doing something. You're always organizing something. You're always trying to put certain populations on, whether it's knowledge or resources. So what's next for Agents for Advocacy? I know you're working on a mentorship program, but what else are you doing?
To help any pregnant mother, any woman going through maternal crisis or maternal health care, just to help as much as I can with, you know, our program director and the original founder of Our Mommy Village, Shayna Broughton, to just help as much as we can. Working with New Directions and with Murray would Stop the Violence, hopefully soon. And when 514 happened, immediately afterwards, there was a meeting, and I talked to Mark Blue, and he asked me a question, what do I want to do? And I had no answer for him. And that's what I want to help with the at-risk youth population out there. When they come to me and I ask them what they want to do, I want to be able to accommodate their request.
And I know you get a lot of opportunities to share your story and talk about, you know, what it was like for you, like being the son of someone who we lost on May 14th, someone we lost in that way. Is it getting easier to tell your own story?
I mean, easier for me, but it's always going to be a hard story to tell. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll probably discuss 514, everything I've done afterwards, you know, probably close to 200-300 times by now. But although I said it this much, there's still people in the crowd who really don't even know what 514 is.
Yeah. It's crazy because there's a lot of people in Buffalo, or, you know, Buffalo adjacent, in the suburbs surrounding Buffalo, who don't fully get it. I remember the weekend after May 14th, I was on my way to Jefferson, and I stopped at Spot Coffee on Elmwood, and there was Porch Fest that weekend. And people were like drinking and going from house to house listening to music. And then you cross Main Street and people were like openly grieving, hugging people that they never met, laying in the middle of the street crying. What would you say to Buffalonians, people who live near Buffalo, who on May 14th, they're like, yeah, we're Buffalo strong, like we're gonna stand together, but every other day of the year, they just don't get it.
I think that was one of the stupidest sayings we came out with, Buffalo strong.
Yeah.
Like, I hate that with a passion because, you know, we are strong. You know, as you said, half the people on the east side of Main Street don't know the other people mm-hmm. on the west side of Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are perfectly designed to be one of the most segregated cities per capita here in the world.
Yeah. And that's a sign of weakness to me.
Yep, and you have people who unfortunately don't live in our bubble want to tell us that we need to man up about problems going on that they aren't familiar or don't associate with or don't go through.
And it hurts, especially when it's someone, like I said, who lives in this city, but they get to experience a different city. It's like, I remember after May 14th, standing up in front of a crowd and saying, like, let's be honest, like, let's stop being strong and let's just start being honest, because until we're honest about these situations, nothing's going to change. Like, strength doesn't change systems. Like, it doesn't. But honesty is a good place to start when it comes to systems change. So in the going into the direction of systems change, do you think that the issue here are the guns? Is it the racism and white supremacy? Like, which issue do you think needs to be tackled first?
I'll say everything. It's going to be hard asking the city of Buffalo and people in power here to change, because it's an inherently, you know, a country problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a president currently in the White House right now who's trying to stop all DEI initiatives and whitewash African-American and or minority history.
Mm-hmm. And that is crazy to me, because even when you think about May 14th, in the direction that we're going in as a country, years from now, we won't even be able to say like that. There'll be a lot of people who don't know that that mass shooting was fueled by racism and white supremacy. Like, that part of it can potentially be erased from the telling of the story, which, not to go on a tangent, is why it's so important to be honest, right? And to have people like you and I who have the ability to help tell the story and tell the narrative of our community, to be honest about it. Do you think we can do a better job as a community being honest about what our community is actually going through?
Absolutely, we could, but once again, that'll stop the inflow of money. And I always say racism, black trauma, that brings in money.
Profitable business. In our city in particular is interesting because so many of our leaders are black. So do you have an expectation that our black leaders push back against that idea that, like, we have to profit off people's pain and trauma because they come from these communities that have experienced the pain and trauma? Or do you think that they are just, their hands are tied when it comes to these larger systems?
I say their hands are tied. You know, no, let's go back to Byron Brown. I wasn't necessarily a defender of Byron Brown. But once again, he got a boss. And even though he had the power to put money someplace, the second he was to do that, he's not going to no longer be in power.
Yeah.
And, you know, they say a political person's job is to get elected and stay elected. And mm-hmm. could Byron Brown have done a lot more for the east side of Buffalo? Absolutely. But if he would have done that, he ain't going to be mayor no much longer.
Yeah. So in the name of your mother and her memory and the memory of everybody we lost on May 14th, and with this, us as a community being at this crossroads, because for the first time in a long time, we're about to have a new mayor, new leadership, a new executive leader of our city. What would you want to say to our new mayor? I'm not going to ask you who you want it to be. I'll ask you that after we turn the mics off. But what would you say to whoever our next mayor is going to become? What do you want them to understand about May 14th and how our city has been handling the money and how we are approaching real change?
May 14th was the same as it was on May 13th, as it was on May 15th. Unfortunately, May 14th just brought a lot of publicity to the atmosphere of what's going on. And unfortunately, that publicity has been wasted and nothing has really been done to quell a probably another uprising of happening again.
And what's your expectation of our next leader?
Be honest. Say we are a very racist, segregated city. Say a lot of the low socioeconomical schools, which are primarily attended by African-American students, suck.
Yeah.
You know, schools, you know, my school I went to, Hamlin Park, Follow Through, Seneca, all of these schools compared to North Buffalo, all of these schools compared to where I stay at now in the Cheektowaga, Amherst area, you know, they are severely lacking. They're horrible.
Yeah, we got to step it up. And what about people who want to learn more about your story, who want to get more involved with your work and just hear from you more? How can they follow you? How can they get your book? How can we get involved?
All right, you can follow us, Agents for Advocacy, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. If you want to know some more behind the scenes or a more aggressive tone or approach, just add me on Facebook, Mark Talley. You'll probably see one of my rants.
And what about your book? Where can they purchase it?
Any place. Amazon, Goodreads, Barnes & Noble, Burning Books, probably Zawade Books, I believe.
Entire
I'm
listeners.
Sorry, Stephanie.
Oh, go ahead.
Stephanie, I forgot. Second Pete? Chapter Bookstore.
Stephanie Pete?
Yes.
Yeah, we love Second Chapter. Shout out to Stephanie. And remind our listeners what the book is called and what it's about.
514, The Day the Devil Came to Buffalo. Describes me and my mother's relationship, 514, and roughly the week to 2 weeks after.
I definitely would suggest, if you're listening and you haven't read it, read it. It will really help you understand what it feels like as a family member who lost someone that day. So definitely get that book. And Mark, I really appreciate the work that you've been putting in. We didn't know each other personally until May 14th. And now we just get to enter a lot of different spaces together. And I absolutely love it. So the last thing I'm going to ask you before we wrap up, and thank you again so much for your time. If you could send a message to your mom or the other people who we lost on May 14th to let them know what you're doing now as the for the community, what would you say?
All right, probably to my mom. I apologize. I still be doing interviews, going out wearing sweatpants and tank tops. I tried to wear the suits. I tried to look presentable. I'm too tall. You know that ain't my style. I am making sure I am facially groomed, though. So hope you like that. And I'm trying to cook and eat better for you.
And she would be proud of you.
Yes.
We all are as a community. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Stay with us. There's more to come after this short break. When we return, Akua Men's Adu sits down with Garnell Whitfield, former City of Buffalo Fire Commissioner and son of Ruth Whitfield, who tragically lost her life in the 514 massacre. The two expand on how to honor the lives lost in 514 and community reflections they see in Buffalo. This is What's Next on BTPM NPR.
In a world full of noise, you need a station that cuts through the chaos. That's us. WBFO is now Buffalo Toronto Public Media NPR, a new name, but the same trusted news, NPR programming, community connections, and in-depth reporting you count on every day. We know change takes a little getting used to, but you can rest easy knowing that everything you love about this station is right where you left it. BTPM NPR. Listen anytime on BTPM Listen or btpm.org.
Corey here with the Compact Civics Expansion Pack.
America is such a big, wide, awesome place, and to be able to see things that are representative of so many different places can be so important when brought to your tiny town.
Everybody is so kind and loving. I'm here in Buffalo just because of State Buffalo.
From urban farms to rural fairs, we'll celebrate spaces that bring us together and create community.
Watch on the Buffalo Toronto Public Media YouTube channel.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the BTPM Listen app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@btpm.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
And welcome back to What's Next. My name is Akua Menzaidu, and we're having a conversation today about a really grounding topic that Buffalo knows all too well, right? May 14th happened 3 years ago. It was a very tragic event that happened in our community. And we want to remember and honor the lives that were lost and just to take some time and space for community reflections. And so we're joined by Garnell Whitfield. Garnell, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Really excited to talk about this topic with you because it's such a important issue that we need to bring up and, you know, raise awareness about. Absolutely. As well, right? Sure. So when we think about May 14th, obviously you lost your mother in this tragic event. Is there anything that you want the world to remember about your mom?
Absolutely. I mean, more than anything, what I remember most about my mother was her capacity to love. In the midst of all of her trials and challenges throughout her life, she loved us unconditionally. She loved us in a way that, you know, she could have only learned that by her faith in God and, you know, this unconditional love, you know, right or wrong. She continued to love us and to nurture us and to pour into us and to her family and to others, even outside of her family, which we didn't even realize the extent of that outreach until her passing, you know.
Yeah.
But 3 years later, you know, we continue to meet people who express how she touched their lives, you know. And so, yeah, her capacity to love and, you know, again, in spite of her challenge, she had a difficult life, you know, but her capacity to love is what I remember most about my mother.
And I know you, before we got started, you talked about your faith, right?
Yeah.
And that's something that she instilled in
Absolutely,
you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What does that look like?
I mean, it has sustained me. Mm. It has sustained our family. Faith being the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
For by it the elders obtained a good report. So all of that scripture, all of those things speak to me and speak to my mother.
Yeah.
And in a way that is very personal, but in a way that also is inspiring.
Right.
You know, in a way that allows me to hope. It allows me to go on, you know, beyond the pain, which is going to be there from now on.
Right.
Beyond the things that we've experienced, the hurt, the pain, the anger, you know.
Absolutely.
All of those things are still very real on a daily basis. You know, I mean, I still, depending on, you know, where we are and what time it is, you know, think something crosses my mind or whatever, you know, I have to sit in that, you know. I cry, I do whatever I do and feel that and experience that. So it's still very, very real.
Yeah.
But faith, you know, allows me to hope.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And so, you know, we're coming up on 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. And I think everybody can now remember where they were when they heard the news. Yeah. It's something that, you know, we often come back to. I work about a block away from there and see it, you know, every single day and are grounded in that. And so 3 years later, what are you feeling, I guess, in this moment of time, right? It's been 3 years.
I have a myriad of, you know, thoughts and, and feelings that run through me at different times. You know, frustration.
Yeah.
Anger, you know, all of those things are very, very present on a daily basis. You know, we get up every day with the reality, you know, that our loved ones are not here. Mm-hmm. And not just that they're not here, but how they died. You know, you know, how they died is the part that, you know, I don't know, all of us have to die.
Sure.
But how my mother died, how our other, you know, how our loved ones died on that day, is something that I will live the rest of my life wondering why.
Yeah.
You know, why she had to go that way. You
yeah.
know, why that happened to her, why that happened to them, you know, and then we have to deal with our reality because the things that caused their death, you know, the racism, the bigotry, you know, the white supremacy, those things are still very prevalent, even more so now than they were then.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's constantly in our face every day. And so that also, you know, spurs me to get up every day and fight to try to fight the good fight.
Yeah. And so we also talked about how this has caused you to move towards action, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, believing that all things work together for good for them who love the Lord and
right.
are called according to his purpose. You know, prior to May 14th, my wife and I were thinking about some property somewhere warm,
okay.
you know, enjoying the fruits of our labor. In my last conversation with my mother, I spent the entire day, May 13th, with her.
Hmm.
And her concern for me was what I was going to do with the rest of my life.
Wow.
She was concerned about what I was going to do with my life. You know, mm-hmm. how would I enjoy the rest of my life? What would I do for myself? And that, you know, we talked about that at length on May 13th.
Okay.
You know, little did either of us know, or maybe she did know, because mm-hmm. she said some things that would lead me to believe that she had some awareness.
Mm.
Not maybe how, but that, you know, her life was going to be coming to an end
yeah.
on that day. She spoke prophetically mm. In some ways on that day. But little did I know that May 14th would give my life a new purpose, you
yeah.
know? And so on May 14th, my mom died tragically, was moved to a place of eternal rest with her creator,
mm-hmm.
which is something she always actually looked forward
hmm.
to. But it also moved me from a place of apathy or false security to a place of action.
Yeah.
And I believe that's what God's intent was at, you know, for me. And so that's why I do what I do and
right.
I've done and will continue to do what I do.
Yeah. And so obviously folks know that you are running for mayor, right?
Yes.
Mayor of the city of Buffalo. And so would you attribute that to the reason why you're running and what you're looking forward to?
Yeah. I mean, it's not the reason why I'm running.
Okay.
Like I said, since my mom's death, I have tried to work night and day to, you know, to effectuate the kinds of changes that I think we need in our community
mm-hmm.
and our world. You know, whether we're talking about white supremacy, we're talking about gun legislation,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're talking about victim services. Those are the areas that I've worked in since 514.
Okay.
I belong to several national boards and different things like that. And so I'm very, very excited about the continuous of that work. But in my traveling around the country,
mm-hmm.
Coming back home, very disappointed, very frustrated in what I see in my hometown.
Yeah.
A lack of unity, a lack of attention to these issues, a lack of empathy and care for the least of these.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that has bothered me. And I would say that's why I'm running for mayor. You know, I 514 moved me to a place of action
sure.
and activism. Absolutely. But this is now, you know, an evolution into something else, into politics, which I've never really been a part of. I've worked in the political world. I mean, the world's very political, no matter
sure.
where you're at.
Yeah.
So I've been around it all my life. But now to be running for mayor, I think, is another step.
Yeah. And so, I mean, when you think about the community, mm-hmm. what is it that you're hoping that folks, I guess, you know, gain from such an incident, right? Because it's changed, you know, obviously it's changed you and your family's lives. It's changed the lives of everyone, I think, in the city of Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you hope that the community can, I guess, connect in terms of this, you know, tragedy?
I think what I would hope for is that we would see our, you know, our humanity in each other, that we would grow beyond our circumstances. So, you know, Buffalo is one of the most segregated cities in America.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It always has been. And it is that today. But 514 gave us an opportunity to come together.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and the city did that.
Right.
You know, in the immediate aftermath of 514, people came together, locked arms, saying kumbaya,
mm-hmm.
prayed for each other, and supported each other. But 3 years later, people have reverted back to who they really are.
Right.
And
right.
to their comfort zones or whatever. And so now we don't see that togetherness. We don't see that unity. And we have to be able to sustain that
mm-hmm.
over time. And so, you know, I would say that building trust.
Yeah.
Within our community, not relying on systems that were never designed to benefit
right.
us, never designed to support us in the way that we need to be supported. And so I think this is an opportunity, especially now with this election,
mm-hmm.
first open election in many, many years. There is an opportunity to do something different in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And that's what excites me. There's an opportunity to say no to those people who have systematically,
mm-hmm.
you know, systematically left out large swaths of people and communities within the city of Buffalo
right.
have intentionally handcuffed us and tied our hands in terms of our ability to grow and to come together. And we have to stand up against that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this candidacy is about. For me, it's about speaking truth to power.
Mm-hmm.
It's about understanding that we're better together and we have more in common than not. And so let's find those things we have in common. Let's focus on those rather than our differences.
Right.
You know, and when we do that, we can work together mm-hmm. on these issues. And they're not as impossible as they may appear to be. So
right.
I'm looking forward to that opportunity.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you mentioned in terms of, you know, what's happening across the country, right? Mm-hmm. We're seeing a lot of rhetoric that's coming out. Folks aren't necessarily coming together like we have in the past. And I think, you know, these types of events and tragedies kind of form folks together in that way. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about, I guess, the landscape of the United States, and, you know, obviously Buffalo, you know, City of Buffalo is a microcosm of that.
Yes,
what absolutely. Connections, are, I guess, are you making at that level in terms of what's happening?
I mean, in many ways, Buffalo, like you said, is a microcosm of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and nationally.
Right.
I mean, this whole MAGA movement of Make America Great Again, this return to the good old days, that's not completely different than what's happening here in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. It's the maintenance of the good old days and the return to the good old days, you know what I'm saying, by these, you know, traditional power brokers or whatever within our community.
Right.
You know, they benefit from the status quo. And so it is, and these, they will do anything mm-hmm. to maintain their place of power and influence within the city of Buffalo, even to the demise of the general population.
Right.
Which, as you can see, they've not much cared about that.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, when you look around our city and you see the potential, the absolute wonderful mm-hmm. potential. On an international border. We're on the largest body of fresh water
right.
in the world. Do we have all these attributes, all of these things going for us? And we have a people who are hardy, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A people who love this community. And, you know, if we can just get them to love each other
right.
in the same way. You right. know, we talk about love for Buffalo. How about love for each other
yeah.
as people, as human beings? And so I think, again, there's a lack of leadership. There has been a lack of leadership in our community. And people have greatly benefited from our division mm-hmm. and from being divided, you know, east side, west side,
right.
black, white, you know what I'm saying, immigrant. All of these things help to divide us.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we have to see our commonality, our humanity in each other. And when we do that, we come into power.
Right.
And that's what this is about for me. And again, like I said, I'm excited to mm-hmm. have this opportunity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, people always make the comments like, you know, you go to a Buffalo Bills game and mm-hmm. everybody's high-fiving each other. You see people from all walks of life all yeah. over the area coming together. And it's like, if we could only bottle that,
yeah.
you know, that feeling, yeah, right?
And then go back to their communities.
Right, right. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
These segregated communities and these lives where we are really not involved in the life of each other.
Right.
So, yeah, let's make that real.
So then, you know, you mentioned the systems that were not created for us, right? And so how do we challenge that system? How do we make a change in that way and get folks to really understand what that could look yeah. like?
Well, I mean, to some degree, again, my candidacy is mm-hmm. a challenge to that system.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's an untraditional campaign, non-traditional. I'm not getting the big endorsements or any of those kinds of things like
right.
that. But that's not what I need.
Yeah.
You know, that's not what we should be striving for. We should be striving for earning the trust of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and get a confidence of people. That's what allows you to govern.
Yeah.
You know, when people trust you and put their confidence in you. And we've seen these politicians come and go
mm-hmm.
ad nauseum in our community. Look around you. Look at our city. Look at the condition of our budget, of our streets, of our communities, of our, look at the condition of our people.
Mm-hmm.
We have some of the worst statistics in the world, whether we're talking about lead, whether we're talking about, you know, disease, heart disease,
right.
lung, all these other things that greatly impact a quality of life in our community. We can do something about these things, but they have to be our priority.
Right.
The people have to be our priority, not developers, you know, not contracts, not these other inanimate things,
mm-hmm.
you know, that come and go. We have to focus on the people. And I think that when we do that, we allow people to grow beyond their circumstances. We need people to grow
yeah.
in our city. We need people to be able to hope and to dream again.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't do that when they can't trust their leaders.
Right,
you
right,
know?
Yeah.
So I think this is a value-based campaign for me. We can talk about policies. Certainly we need policies,
mm-hmm.
but we need to focus on people.
Yeah.
People first.
Yeah.
And policies emanate from that.
Right.
Right?
I honestly love that.
Yeah.
I love that in terms of the connection to values and what that
absolutely,
looks like.
Absolutely,
yeah.
You know, I come from an emergency management background where our first consideration is life safety.
Okay.
No matter what we deal with in the first response community,
mm-hmm.
it's always first and foremost life safety, human beings.
Right.
We deal with that. We mitigate those issues, those threats or whatever. We deal with those things. Then we talk about property and we talk about these other things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that's my frame of thought. It's not political for me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's very basic. You know, how does what I do impact you as a human being?
Mm-hmm.
How can I help support you as a human being?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? How can we have that kind of connection? And how can I gain your trust? And I gain your trust by, for instance, in the first response community, when the bell goes off, we show up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I've done my whole life, showing up.
Right.
And that's what I intend to do now as your mayor,
yeah.
is to show up every day. And that's how we gain each other's trust,
right.
you know, and confidence, one by showing up every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about resilience, right? And I know when we started the conversation, we kind of leaned into that as well. And so when you think about the word resilience, what does that mean for you and what does that bring up?
I mean, it brings up my ancestors.
Mm.
It brings up all of the things that our people have gone through historically,
yeah.
and still rise and still excel and are still here to this day in spite of those challenges. And so I think that we are resilient people. And I think that that has bode well for us in times like these. You know, you hear all of the threats coming out of Washington. You hear all of these new policies and that. You know, we're used to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
this is not new for us.
Right.
And so we have this, again, unique opportunity. I think that what happens when we're threatening, whether we're talking about 9/11, you know, typically when threats happen, it brings people together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? There's this moment where people come together to respond to that threat.
Yeah.
That is this moment. But we need leadership. We need leadership to be able to bring people together, stop this divisiveness, these silos, break mm-hmm. them down, bring people together, leverage our efforts one with the other. Let's stop fighting for the same crumbs off the table, and let's come together, work together towards a common goal. We need leadership to set those goals, to bring people together, mm-hmm. and to use the resources of this community, of this city, in such a way that would require that of these different groups. I mean, the city spends a lot of money,
right.
supports
yeah,
a lot of different things, but not cohesively.
Yeah.
And so we need this holistic, cohesive effort to bring people together under a common flag, mm-hmm. under a common cause. And again, like I said, there's a few things that all of us as human beings need
mm-hmm.
and want. Let's focus on those things.
Yeah.
And let's be good at that.
And so I know when we started the conversation, you talked about your mother and her capacity to love, right?
Yes.
And how, you know, that's been bestowed upon you and
yeah.
your family members as well. And so when you think about the way that you would lead, right? You mm-hmm. know, you're running for City of Buffalo, the mayor for the City of Buffalo.
Right.
How would you take that, you know, your capacity to love, something that was passed down to you from
yeah.
your mother, in your approach to leading the city?
I mean, that's what this is all about. It's about love.
Yeah.
It's about loving each other. It's about caring about each other. It's about, you know, understanding that for the grace of God go I.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know, I've had many challenges and would not be where I'm at today had not somebody loved me.
Right.
Had not somebody took a chance on me. Had not somebody poured into me and supported me. And so we are all our brother's keeper.
Mm-hmm.
We are all here by the grace of God. We are all here and should be supportive of each other. You know, we all have a role to play,
mm-hmm.
you know, some larger than others, but we all have a role to play. And, you know, running for mayor is just, you know, it's I'm a public servant.
Right.
That's what I am. I'm very proud of that. No more. I'm not a hero. I'm not any of those things. I'm a public servant.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm honored to be that. You know what I'm saying? Because there's no greater gift. There's no greater thing that one could do
yeah.
than to pour into someone else and to lift someone else up. So I take that very seriously. No matter what the title has ever been,
mm-hmm.
it's always been about service to others.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so I think that's something that we have to make sure that all of our city workers and others mm-hmm. understand that we are here to serve.
Yeah.
We are just humble servants. And, you know, whatever we get for doing that, then we're thankful for that.
Right.
But nothing's more important than lifting someone else up.
And yeah. I think, you know, you had mentioned something earlier, too, that I want to highlight. Oftentimes we're looking at, you know, leaders to do something
mm-hmm.
and them to speak on our behalves and them to kind of like carry the mantle and take all the ownership on them.
No.
What, you know, how do we change that, right?
So real leaders are, I mean, for me,
yeah.
you know, I'll speak for myself. I think leaders, a leader's job is to is to help others grow beyond their circumstances. Mm-hmm. Is not to to grab power, but to give it away and to empower others. You know, that's our job, is to make sure that you become the best you can be. Mm-hmm. You know, and to help facilitate that. However, we can do that. I mean, that's leadership. Is not to be to be confident in yourself to the extent that you don't have a problem letting other people grow.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
You know, oftentimes, there's people that are in leadership positions, but they keep their foot on your neck.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're very concerned about you.
Yeah.
Rather than understanding that you go, I go. You know what I'm saying? If I can get you to where, you know, you need to be, then that's how I succeed as a leader.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's not about me. It's about you. It's never about the leader. It should be about the people that are being led.
Yeah.
And that's it. They have to be the focus. You know, not my title, not any of those kinds of things, mm-hmm. but who is it that we are called to represent and to lead?
Yeah.
They have to be the focus.
And I think that's another, you know, moment that folks need to realize that you also have the ability and power to make things happen as well, right? You don't necessarily have to lean onto a specific leader.
Yeah.
You know, we can band together.
No, yeah. You know, Commissioner Fire, you know, every you know, go to fires, not to take over, you know, but to provide the resources to make sure that the men and women of the Buffalo Fire Department or whoever have the resources that they need to do their jobs. Mm-hmm. And they're competent people.
Right.
They're well trained, you know. They don't need me to come and take over. I mean, there may be a time or two where I may have to do that,
mm-hmm.
and that's okay, you know. But it's about supporting them. It's about understanding that they are, you know, they are what's important here.
Yeah.
You know, them and the people that they're called to serve. You know, that's my job as a leader.
Right.
You know, not to make it about me, but to make it about them and to make sure that they're successful in serving the public, serving people, and putting our best foot forward. So that's what this is about. It's about being secure enough in your own self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you don't have to worry about somebody getting bigger than you or somebody getting more oppressed than you or any of those kinds of things like that. This is about making sure that people grow beyond their circumstances. And that's how I measure my success.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I know we only have a couple minutes left, and I want, you know, you to be able to just leave the folks with something, right? And so 3 years later, this is something, like I said, that we can't forget. You know, I think there's a lot of communities when there's something that happens of this magnitude over time, you know, we tend to forget, right? Mm-hmm. And so what would you want folks to remember about this, and how do you want folks to move?
Yeah, I think that, first of all, this is not something we should ever forget.
Mm-hmm.
This is not something you put on the back burner and try to turn your back on and walk away from. This happened, and this changed our lives. How do we come together as a community? First of all, so that we prevent this from happening again,
mm-hmm.
you know, as much as possible, okay? Educate each other, you know, get to know each other as human beings. You know, let's break down all of these, you know, divisive walls and things that we have created and that others have created in our lives that keep us from coming into self and coming into, you know, love and charity with our neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about Buffalo being the city of good neighbors. It has to also be the city of good neighborhoods. You know what I'm saying? So we have a lot of work to do here. I think that we can together, that we can deal with these issues. Again, these are not like, you know, these great complicated things. As much as we make them out to be,
mm-hmm.
I think that when we come together and we say, these are the things that are important to us. You know, people want to be safe. You know, people want to be secure. People want to be able to raise their families and send their children to good schools, things like that. We can do that. We can do these basic things brilliantly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to do in Buffalo. We want to do these basic things brilliantly in a way that, you know, you don't want for these things. You can focus on something else.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you can,
yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't have to worry about that.
Exactly.
Your kid's going to be safe at school. He's going to learn. They're going to learn. You know, he or she's going to learn, you know, and they're going to grow and reach their fullest potential. We want to provide that kind of environment for our families in our city and take advantage of all the wonderful God-given attributes that make Buffalo what it is. We are much bigger than we've ever seen ourselves. Much bigger than we've ever seen ourselves. There's a connection. We've got, we got freedom seekers coming through Buffalo.
Yeah.
You know, historically.
Yes.
We have so much that we could take advantage of, so much that we should be proud of, and so much that we should be building upon. And here's an opportunity to do that. And I'm saying, like, you know, join us.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time and coming on. We always appreciate hearing from you. And yeah, we look forward to commemorating, you know, and actually like a remembrance, right? We're mm-hmm. looking forward to remembering and taking that and moving forward together.
Yeah. I mean, we use 514, but what we want to remember is that thing, that gift that was put in us, in each one of us.
Absolutely.
And that's what we want to do. We want to bring that out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, yeah, 514 happened.
Yeah.
But let's use that as an impetus to bring the gifts each one of us has been given to bear in times like these.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
And that will do it for episode one of our 514 anniversary programming. We thank today's guests, Mark Talley and Garno Whitfield, for reflecting on the lives lost in 514. Tune in tomorrow for another episode of our 514 anniversary programming, where we discuss processing trauma and building resilience. You've been listening to What's Next on Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.